Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Amen. God is so good, ain't he? Let me tell you, when you really appreciate church, when you hadn't been there for a few services. Amen. Man, there's a good spirit here. Amen. Because it's his spirit. Before I preach, I want to say thank you to the men and women in this church. Amen. Because, man, we got a good group of people. Amen. And some of y'all didn't say amen very loud because you're looking around like there's a couple. But, man, God has truly been good to us. I appreciate Brother Sam and Jason and all these guys that stepped in. Aaron, I don't think you was here the whole time I was missing, so. But I guess Megan stepped in for him. Is that right? Josh, did you go to the zoo or something one day? Yeah, man. But, man, the church keeps moving. Because unlike a lot of churches, this church doesn't revolve around one minister. It revolves around Jesus. And that means a whole lot. Amen? But, man, it feels good to take a break and leave it in capable hands, knowing that nothing crazy is going to go on. Somebody asked me, did they get any complaints on their preaching? I said, no complaints at all. No complaints at all. So if you got them, keep them to yourself and pray. Amen. I'm going to let you sit down just a second. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Very familiar to us. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You may be seated. We are his workmanship. Spurgeon said it like this: the spiritual life cannot come to us by development from our own selves. Let me say that again. The spiritual life cannot come to us by development from our own selves. He said, I've heard a great deal about evolution and development, but I'm afraid that if any one of us were to be developed to our utmost apart from the grace of God, we should come out worse than before the development began. So, Dave, when we try to reform ourselves apart from the grace of God, we become frustrated. No matter how good you are at being you, without the grace of God, you still end up frustrated. No matter how good you are at making things in your life work, there comes a point that if we don't have the grace of God, we become very frustrated and very ill. Can you say amen? God is not about reforming us. I say this a lot, and I'm going to say it tonight. That God did not come to make bad people good. He come to make dead people alive. And there is a vast difference. Because some people can turn from bad to good within themselves, but that still doesn't mean they have what God ordained them to walk in. Can you say amen? Our new life is truly created out of nothing from ourselves, but by everything that God has done. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Well, now, I don't want to preach about vacation, but I do want to tell you this. We've seen some amazing things. And some people in the church know where we went, and they said, man, those sequoia trees or those redwood trees are amazing. And they are amazing. Has anybody ever seen them? Raise your hand. If you've ever seen them in a picture, they drive cars through them. It's amazing. And as we're looking at all these places that we've seen, I've seen Crater Lake, I've seen lakes that 53 feet of snow in that area every year. When we got there in September, all the snow was still not melted. Jason and I walked by snow up to our waist. That's how thick it still was because it hadn't. And I've seen all of these places. And at the end of the trip, Tracy said, okay, what was your favorite thing? And I started thinking about all the things that I had seen. And I'm trying not to get emotional because I promised I wouldn't get emotional until I was 75. Doug, we were walking and somebody said, you're going to get emotional like Eddie. I said, Eddie didn't get emotional until he was 75, so I don't have to get emotional until I'm 75. And Eddie said, oh, yeah, what about at them girls' weddings? Then we went to the allergy thing. I said, when I get 75, I'm going to get real emotional about a lot of stuff, but not right now. I seen a lot of stuff. And when I got back, I'm replaying all the things I seen. And you ever had God just speak to you? Just speak something. And he said, man, you missed my greatest work. Out of everything that I seen, out of the trees and the waterfalls and all the things, because God's creation is truly amazing. He said, my greatest work were the people that were walking beside you. No, you missed it. Because I looked around and I started replaying what I had seen. And I seen Jason. And I seen Robin. And I seen Tracy. And I seen it. And these are the works of God. These are the greatest works of God. Even though creation testifies of the greatness of God. Even though the stars sing his glory and everything. And I felt like David. When I consider the works of your hands and I consider your creation. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you would even visit him? The answer is this: out of all the things and all the works that God did, you are the greatest part of his workmanship. You are the greatest thing that God ever created, recreated, made a new creature, made born again. Out of all the things that God has done, the people that he brought out of darkness in the light are his workmanship. You are his showcase. And I got to work today after I heard this voice speaking to me. And I looked in a muddy pit at a coal mine. And I seen Dustin walking through there, part of his workmanship. I seen Ian outside of a loader, part of his workmanship. I'm here to tell you, we got a God that does good work. And the devil is a liar when he tells you that you ain't good enough. You are his workmanship. And I'm praying about this today. And how many people have ever called a handyman? Nobody in here has ever called a handyman. Somebody said, I am a handyman. How many people have ever needed a handyman? Maybe that's better. You don't call them, you need them. You're the same people that need to go to the doctor and you don't. Handiwork. I'm pretty handy. You're pretty handy. I've worked around you. You're pretty handy, ain't you? If you need something done, there's just some guys to call. Handiwork. You know when you need handiwork? Not when everything is right. Let me tell you, when you call a handyman is when something is broken and needs fixed. We are his handiwork, man. Man, when this hit me today, Jason, this is today. We are his handiwork. We think the only time that we can call on God is when we got it all right. We want to have everything clean. Some of you people in here, you know how it works. Somebody knocks at your door and you flip out. You act like you owe back taxes or something. Oh, who is that? Who could that be? What in the world's going on? And then you start. What do you do? What's the first thing you do? You start cleaning up. You don't even know who it is. Somebody's at the house. The living room can be an absolute mess. You got kids. There's stuff everywhere. Somebody knocks at the door and you start picking everything up. I told Tracy years ago, we don't live in a museum. If somebody knocks at the door, let them come in. We got kids. There's toys in the floor. There's a lot that goes on here. This is not a museum. We didn't know they was coming anyway. But most people start putting everything up. The living room looks nice, but don't open the bedroom door. Because we think that we have to put on this front that everything is in order at all times. And man, when God begins to knock on our, we feel like we got to get ready and get better and get cleaned up and get right and all that. Let me tell you, you're not going to get cleaned up without him, because you are his handiwork. In creation. Doug, there's an argument. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. You heard the pre-creation argument. That says there must have been another creation that fell into what we read about in Genesis, because God will not create anything that is without form and empty, because God can't create anything like that. That's the argument. Why would God do that? Why would God begin creation in chaos, in darkness, and out of order? I'm going to tell you why. Because God's new creation began in darkness, in chaos, and out of order. If God would have began, Andrew, with everything perfect, everything was in place, and then he begins to create. But God didn't do it that way. Sam, God stepped out into darkness and began to do his work. He didn't work in light. He worked on the darkness, because we are his handiwork. Are you with me? Man, this is so important. If we could get this, because God, he says, and then God said, God began to do his work on this creation through his voice and his word. God began to work on the void, and God, the spirit began to move, and God began to speak. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. But the Spirit began to move upon the face of the waters. The waters that were dark, the Spirit moved upon. We think that we got to have light for the Spirit to move. I want to preach to you tonight that the Spirit can move in the darkest places imaginable. Where there was no light at all, the Spirit was still moving. Where there was no illumination at all, the Spirit was moving. Where there was no revelation at all, the Spirit was moving. So there are people, Leslie, in this world that I've been praying for. God, show them the light. God, illuminate it. God, give them the revelation. My prayer now is send the Spirit. The Spirit that knows no law. The Spirit that knows no law. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit, against such there is no law. You know what that word law means? It means limit. Kevin, the Spirit is not limited to the four walls of this church, but the Spirit of God can penetrate the worst cell, the darkness, the darkest place, the most bound person. That's what the Spirit can do. You know what we need? We don't need another good sermon. We need a move of the Spirit. We don't need another sermonette. We need a move of the Spirit. We are his workmanship. We are the workmanship. You know what it requires for salvation? Faith and repentance. Oh, there's a requirement? Faith and repentance. But here's the kicker. You want me to give you the kicker? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Here's another argument. What's he talking about? Is the salvation the gift, or is the faith the gift? Which one's the gift, your faith or your salvation? Your salvation is definitely the gift, is it not? But here's what's even gooder. Your faith is a gift from God too, because he had dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God gives you a gift that can only come through faith, and he gives you the faith to believe in the gift that he wants to give you. So your faith is a gift. Your salvation is a gift. Now the only thing you earn, the wages of sin, is death. You can earn death, but you got to receive life. You can't earn life, but you can earn death. The only way to get life is you receive it. The only way to get a gift is to receive it. Oh, man. Do you understand what God did when he gave you the gift of salvation and gave you the faith? One writer said it like this. The grace is what saves you, but it comes through faith. Works like this. Think of a pipe or a water hose. The water is the grace, but the faith is what gets it to you. Because without the faith, there's no way to get the grace to you. It's just free flowing. But the faith brings it to you. The only thing required for salvation is faith and repentance. But what about obedience, preacher? Don't I have to be obedient too? The only thing required for salvation is faith and repentance. But what faith and repentance produces is obedience. This is going to mess with you. Obedience. Can I say it? Okay. I don't have to be obedient to be saved. But because I'm saved, it produces obedience. Do you see the difference? Because if you don't see the difference, some of you are trying to be good without being good. Let me try that over here. Some of us are trying to be saved without being saved. This is not behavior modification. This is making you born again. And a byproduct of being born again is your behavior is modified. Let me say it like this. The places I used to go, I don't go no more. Not because all things are lawful, but they're not expedient. The reason I don't go there anymore is there's nothing there that interests me anymore. Fascination will always take place of determination. Tell you right now, I'm trying real hard to love Tracy. I'm trying hard. Determined to love that woman. Next year, 30 years we've been married. And I'm trying real hard. I'm determined. When you become fascinated, it takes the place of determination. It's not, I'm trying real hard. It's, I can't help falling in love. You see the difference? You're not determined anymore. You can't help it. When we get fascinated with Jesus instead of determined over Jesus, it'll change things. When we realize that he gave us the faith, he gave us the grace, he gave us salvation, he gave us all of that, and there becomes fascination with him, we become his workmanship. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to do good works. But you can't do good works unless you got a good spirit. And the only way to get a good spirit is from a good God. And thank God that a good God gave a good son, and it was a perfect son. And that son died for you and paid a debt for you. And now you've been liberated. And because you've been liberated, you don't have to beg me to worship. You don't have to ask me to worship. You can't stop me from worshiping because I know him and I love him and I appreciate him. And that's my motivation. Well, I gotta go to church tonight. Gotta or getta? Guess I'll go down here. You're lucky I'm here. I'm lucky you're here. I'm lucky you're here. Me, I'm the lucky one in this situation that you came tonight. I missed two in a row, and I know he's gonna text me and ask me. So we better go so he leaves us alone. Come on, honey, get ready. I don't have to make up a story. Are you kidding me? Man, did you feel the presence of God in this room tonight? I get to be in his presence. I'm his workmanship. Now, here's where we get this mixed up sometimes, Aaron. We take grace. Oh, there he is. Is this his first service here? Stand up. Can you? Do you feel like standing up? Everybody, look. This is his first service here. Amen. She's at home going, well, I got to take care of this kid now. Now I got to feed it. Now she has you, boo-boo. Fascinated. When you fall in love with him and you become fascinated with him, it's not a got to, it's a get to. Man, every time you sing about the cross, I get to raise my hands. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him like he ought to be praised. Come on, somebody praise him. Come on, would you please praise him? Come on, please stand up and praise him. Somebody love him. Somebody love him. You should never have to be pumped and primed. You should never. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Get this. This is a good revelation. Y'all ready? The only way to enter into his gates with thanksgiving means you were thanking him on the other side of the gate. That's the only way you can enter in with it is if you had it on the other side. The only way you can come into his courts with praise is if you were praising him on the outside of his courts. Do you get this? It's not a matter of me trying to get you to worship him. It's a matter of you can't stop worshiping him because of what he did. Are you thankful tonight for what he did for you? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? I don't know. Maybe Tracy will ask me, what was your favorite thing? Me? I was the coolest part of the whole creation. Somebody took a picture of me and somebody else and said, oh, what a beautiful background. I said, what about the foreground? What about what's up front? Workmanship, the work, the handiwork of God. You know what that means? This, look, if you look this up and you word study this out, it literally means a work of art. It's a masterpiece. Stand up. This is a masterpiece. They're only clapping because they felt obligated. But I want you to get this in your spirit. I want you to get this in your spirit because when nobody's clapping and the devil says, oh man, you don't amount to nothing, you look at him and say, man, I'm a masterpiece. It ain't about the background. It's about the foreground. It's about where he brought me from. I'm not looking back there anyway. What matters now is I am what I am by the grace of God. You're a work of art. You're the handiwork of God. You are. Did y'all hear the noise he made when he got up? Poor fella. He said, oh, you're a masterpiece. I know your knees are falling apart, your back's falling apart, but you're a masterpiece. No, I want you to remember this. You are the handiwork of God. You say, well, there's things wrong with me. That's the only time you need a handyman anyway. Because he knows how to fix it. And whatever's going on inside of you, oh, man, this is so good. Whatever it is, Sammy's able to fix it. Don't let the devil lie to you. Whatever's going on, God's able to heal it. Whatever's happening, God's able to fix it. You are his handiwork. Let him do his work. I used to do contracting work in people's houses. And I don't want to sound arrogant, but I was pretty good at it. And you know the customers that I loved working for is the ones that trusted me. I loved working for those people. You know the ones that got on my last nerve? It's the one that while you're working, they're... I remember very vividly a man in Princeton one time stood right here. I'm installing tile in his bathroom, and he stood right there. And it wasn't bad enough that he stood right there. He sucked on a piece of candy. The whole time. He didn't see me do it, but I did this. I'd go. I'd turn around to make it, and I'd bump into him. He didn't trust me. I want to make sure. Help me. I was the handyman. I knew how to fix it, but he stood over me. Let me tell you this. When you give it to him, you can trust him. Sometimes we don't trust him, do we, Christy? Sometimes I don't trust him. I say, God, here's how I need you to do this. I need you to do it like this. God, I need you to do it like that. I need you to fix it like this. I need you to fix it like that. And here's how. Let God be God. Just trust him, Mona. Trust him. When you pray for your kids, trust him. When you're praying and you're believing, just trust him. Because let me tell you what God does. When he shows up, he's got the right tools. He's done it all before. He knows how to fix it just right. Let him do his work the way he wants to do his work. I started praying like this. God, I don't care how you do it. Just do it. I don't care how you fix it. Just fix it. Let him work. Just let him work. Because you got things in you you want God to fix, but you tell him how to fix them. God, you need to hurry with this one. You need to really pep it up. I mean, they're starting to predict the rapture, Lord. You need to get with it. I don't know if you heard the news. That's starting again, ain't it? We missed it, didn't we? We're still here. I mean, or we missed it. You better hope they was wrong because you're still here. Megan Eddy asked me one time, he said, if the rapture takes place, will you preach my funeral? I said, no, I'll be gone too. He said, like I said. God knows the timeline. God knows how to fix it. You're his workmanship. Look at the person beside you and say, you are God's handiwork. Now look at the person on the other side that you didn't want to talk to the first time and say, you are too. This conversation is going too long. What's going on here? Come on, Aaron. Out of the void, God said, let there be light. The Spirit moved and God said, let there be light. Out of the emptiness, it wasn't a perfect background. You know what makes it even better? And this is the only analogy I could come up with. So if it offends some of y'all, it just offends you because this is all I got. Have you ever seen somebody get a really, like, I don't know, they get a tattoo and it'll have somebody's name on it and then that person is no longer with them and they don't know what to do. I asked a guy one time, he had his daughter, her name was Taylor, he had it tattooed on his arm, and I said, his wife's name was Vicky, and I said, why don't you have Vicky tattooed on your arm? He said, because Taylor will always be my daughter. You ever see them go to some of these artists and they turn it into something totally different and you can't even tell? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can't even tell. It's like, how? That's amazing. That's amazing. And I'm not saying God's a tattoo artist. Nothing like that. But I'm going to tell you this. God can take messes and turn them into works of art. Those things, he knows it doesn't have to be a blank canvas. It can be darkness. It can be void. It can be empty. And God can reach in there and begin to do his work through the Spirit and his voice and speak things and make a beautiful work of art out of you. Let's do this. Look at the person beside you and say, you're beautiful. There's one person I watched when it happened. It was Doug. He didn't tell anybody. But when she told him, he went, yeah. Come on, Vicky, tell him he's beautiful. She said, no. Is he beautiful? Man, God can take the most messed up people. Listen, I'm dysfunctional. You're dysfunctional. All God's children are dysfunctional. Aren't you glad for that? That God can take that and do his work in you through his grace, through faith. Man, Jason, I want to believe in him even more. I want to hold on to him even tighter. I want to become more and more fascinated with who he is. This creation is fallen, and it's so beautiful. There are some that it's amazing. It's amazing how beautiful his creation is. And it's waiting. It's broken. But you are not fallen anymore. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Quit acting like you're fallen. You're not fallen. He is putting you together again. You're not broke anymore. Don't let the devil lie to you, Jackie. Don't let him lie to you. Don't let the devil tell you that lie. I'm not broken. There's some things in me that he's fixing. Either I'm fixed or in the process of being fixed because I'm his workmanship. I'm his handiwork. Don't judge people. Don't judge people by one instance. Tell this story and I'm going to let you go. We decided years ago we was going to do some work on our house. We didn't owe a lot of money on it. I said, we'll refinance. We'll have them come by and do an appraisal. And the appraiser showed up on the day that I decided to redo the foundation of my house. I had a ditch all the way around my house. The asphalt next to the house was completely dug out. It had been raining. There were frogs in my ditch. Everywhere. The guy got out of the car to do an appraisal on my house. The whole downstairs was a disaster. I had tools and mattock and mud everywhere. And he walked in and he had mud on his shoes. Do you remember the frogs in? There was a lot of them, wasn't there? The guy comes to do an appraisal, Jason. I'm in the ditch. Hey, buddy, check out my place. Tell me what it's worth. He tromped through the house. I didn't get a good appraisal. It wasn't a good appraisal at all. The houses around me appraised for a lot more than my house did. I was trying to figure out, and I know I'm getting lengthy, but I'll quit. I was trying to figure out which the best way. Sam said, I'm good. I'm good. Plenty of time, right, Sam? I was trying to figure out the best way to put in seepage line around the basement. I said, do I put it on the footer or do I put it beside the footer? Some people said, put it on the footer. Some people said, put it beside the footer. I said, dig down beside it and put it beside it. The more gravel you put, the better. Use this stuff. It's expensive. They just give me all kinds of information how to put this seepage line in because I got water in my basement. So being the guy that I am, I put it on the footer and down below the footer. And I use the most expensive aqua stuff that you can buy to put on my foundation. And I'm telling you right now, there is so much gravel. It's deep. It's deep. My basement is as dry as cracker juice. But that guy judged me because I was down there in that hole with them frogs. He caught me in a bad spot. Problem is, we see people in situations sometimes. And we say, man, they're a wreck. That's a wreck. That's a wreck. But we don't know the work that's actually going on. God's doing something in you. Now I want to talk to you just for a second. If anybody's in here today and you need God to touch you, say, man, there's a part of my life that I've been praying about. And man, you spoke to me tonight. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. Because we don't want you to leave here the way you came in. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe as a body of believers that we can touch the throne of God, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Start playing, Aaron. I can't stop talking. If you need prayer, if you need prayer, any part of you, and you say, you know what? That's me. Come on. That's me. That's me. Come on. Help me. Help me, ministers. Help me. Help me, Dave. Help me. See, there's a part of me that I want God to do a work in. Be his workmanship. Be his workmanship. Help me pray. Help me pray.